Thank the Lord for being here tonight. I've had this on my heart for quite some time. Pray that God will feed our souls with it. I was reading today about the desire of a minister is to minister the word of God, to help people, to feed their souls, and that's my burden tonight, to feed all of us, including myself. I'd like to read it. Okay. I like to read in Titus 2, 4, and 5 to start with, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We want to kind of close in on this word keepers at home and what this really means. It means keepers of the home. And to be a keeper of the home, of course, you have to be homesome. But it means the gatekeeper of her home. A homemaker in the physical realm of things that we have to do, A to Z, is preparing and serving meals, doing laundry, grocery shopping, budgeting, taking care of the children, all this plus more. But the spiritual part is keeper means watch the household, guard the household, to beware of what's going on with your children, your husband, your grandchildren, anything. You have to beware of what's going on to help them spiritually. Domestically inclined, caring for the family, a protector. Sometimes a mother, she has to enforce rules. She has to have watch for their children's souls. To be a true keeper of the home is we can find joy in it. And great joy, a godly homemaker. Being a godly homemaker, we can find great joy in it. And I know sometimes when we have a lot of duties at home, and this can help the men tonight too, because I really think about and be aware of what the wife has to do and all the burdens that she has to carry and all the things that she has to do to be a help to her sometimes. And, you know, the keeper of the home, we know the man is the head of the home. The woman is the keeper of the home. She is the crown to that head. Without her, God made her to be a helpmeet and to be, he needs her really bad. He needs her, and the church need women to be a helper to the church. And, you know, I just think about, I want to read over here to Proverbs 31. We know that's a very popular scripture, but to be a keeper of the home and to a good job at it. It's not just only washing dishes or doing laundry. There's so much more to that. And it's really to be there for your children. And even if your children are grown and married, to be there for your grandchildren, to be there for your adult children where they can call you and talk to you about their spiritual battles or and pray with them. And it goes over into the church. We can overflow into the church of being a real mother in Israel. So there's no time in life that we are not that God doesn't want to use us. He wants us all our life. We all have something that we can put into this. And so it's just a woman's desire to be what God wants her to be, as well as a man's desire, I know, as a Christian man, to be what he should be. And, you know, for the home to work beautiful, both these elements have to work together and be a blessing to one another. And I was thinking how that being a man, being the head of the home, if he thinks sometimes that maybe his wife is not good at finances, for instance, he may just think that he's got to take care of all of it. And if he does that and she is good at finances, I really think we need to learn to work together and see the good in one another and not be so that, well, I'm going to do it because of this, but be willing to share and see what qualities your wife has or what qualities your husband has and work on those things so they can excel in that. Because if you don't, you can hurt yourself. You can just hurt your own marriage by not seeing what is in that person. So we got to see what is in one another and work with that. So I want to go over to Proverbs a little bit here in quite a little bit, but Proverbs, it says here, who can find a virtuous woman? The 10th verse. For her price is far above rubies. It says the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. And I have found out a lot of times in life, the man is working so much and he's so busy with his work that the woman has to take care of a lot of the financing. And so her husband is trusting in her. Because, a woman usually does the grocery shopping, and the man can do that too to help out. But that's usually her job. It's usually her job to take care of the children, make sure that they have clothes in the winter and things like that. There's just a lot of finances that goes through the woman's hands. So she needs to live for her husband and trust her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. You know, I was thinking about that willingly. You know, there's something about doing something, but not doing it willingly. But if a real godly Christian woman gets up in the morning and she says, oh, I'm excited about this day. I'm excited about cleaning my home or taking care of my home or preparing a good meal today. And she's willingly taking her hands and doing the best she can. It just makes it so much better. And not only that for her own self, but it can be an overflow to people in the church. If she can get her own work done and bless her own house, she may have some strength to do a little more for others too. But, you know, it's the joy that and the willingness that we have. It brings joy and happiness. It may sound kind of strange, but I just feel this way. Like sometimes when the kitchen is all clean, it brings me joy. When I clean my kitchen up, I like to look at it. And they'll say, I would like to look that there's no dirty dishes in the sink. And I put maybe light a candle, and it just brings me joy. And, you know, this is what I'm trying to say, to encourage us to make happiness out of it. Make it something exciting that we put some effort into it. And, you know, this goes into our spiritual life, too. It really does, because God wants us to be the keeper of the home. And it says that she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She's looking out for deals and things. She's looking out for her home, you know, and sometimes it might be a sale somewhere or something, but she's looking out for her home, for her family. And she, it says, bringeth from afar. And she rises also while it's yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Sometimes even at night, you know, one will get up early to prepare a meal. Maybe she wouldn't have to do that. She could just put something together, but she gets up early because she has a plan that she wants to prepare a really good meal that day for her husband and her children. Or maybe her children are grown, but they're going to come home and she wants to just have something special for them. So she loses sleep to get up and do that. I don't know if we really think about it that much, but a real godly woman is a keeper of that home. She cares about it. She wants to, when her husband comes home, she wants her house to be clean. She wants her children, if they're a little dirty, to kind of wash their face, clean them up, and get ready for that husband to come home and have a meal ready for him and do her very best to be a good wife. That's the kind of woman that God wants us to be. And he wants us to be that way. And it says, she considereth the field and buyeth it. And the fruit of her hand, she planteth the vineyard. Now, you know, a woman that considers a field and buyeth it. Now, I know someone in my family, this is not the normal. Because your husband's the head of the house. So usually, you know, you're going to work with him about choosing a car. But someone in my family, one time a car deal came up. And they wanted to get a hold of their husband, but they couldn't. He was at work or something happened. It was either make the deal or not, so they made the deal. But it was such a great deal that the husband was very happy that they made that deal. And what I was trying to say here is, men, don't put your wife in a box where you think that she's not good enough to do some of these things. Although she's a homemaker, she also is intelligent and she can make decisions. Not the normal, The norm would be to work together with your husband, but this woman, she considered the field and buy it. It doesn't say she called up her husband and asked permission. She did it because she knew it was something she had to do right then. She had to get it because it was a good deal. So she considered, she bought it. And so, you know, there's things that we can do. With the fruit of her hands, she planted the vineyard. And she girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. She preserveth that her merchandise is good and her candle goeth not out by night. She's always working late sometimes to get everything done. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. You know, she does not only take care of her own family, but she's aware when someone else needs something and she helps them out with money, or she helps them out with food or whatever God puts on her heart. The Lord works with her that way, and she knows what she should do to help, and she's willing to do that. But you know, the thing is, if we're diligent to take care of our own home and budget our money, we'll have extra to give to others. But we're wasteful and we don't have no extra. But God will help us to be like that. And she says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. When winter's coming, you know, a mother, sometimes in the spring, she's getting a sale on a winter coat for that child. She's thinking way ahead. And you know, lots of times I say, it's not that the men don't want to do these things. They're so busy working and providing for the family and being the protector of that home that God gave her to be the keeper of it. And she's to be the helpmeet and help do those things. So he doesn't have to worry about those things because he's working day and night. Like it says, you know, a man's work is from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. It's just a little saying like that, but it's almost kind of true. I mean, it seemed like you do the dishes and then here comes another dirty dish. I didn't know that was there coming up, you know, like I wanted them all done. Or, you know, you get your washing done and then another towel gets thrown in there. What's it? I want it all done, you know, and so, but you just keep plugging along and doing what the Lord wants you. But it says here, she maketh herself, she's not afraid of the snow. She's already got it prepared. She's already got their coats, her boots, her gloves, whatever they needed. She's already ready for the winter to come. Her children are going to be clothed. Her husband, if he needs a coat, he's got one. She already looked out for the sale. She's already got it already. That's a godly woman that's keeping that home, watching over that home. And not only the physical things, but the spiritual things. She's looking on the spiritual things for her children. And it never ends. You can say, well, I don't have children at home. It never ends. You still have a burden for those children. You still want to pray for them. You still want to, if you can help them out anyway, you would be willing to do it. And that's what a godly woman is. And she says, and she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She can do things like this because tapestry is like a woven, beautiful cloth that they make scenes out of it. And like in the olden days in these castles, it was cold and they would hang up these tapestries and it would warm the room, or it could be made into a rug or whatever. Mostly it's hung on walls, but it was to warm the room up more. But you know, she's just diligently doing things to be profitable to that family. You know, it's amazing. And her husband is known in the gates. He's a businessman. He's known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Most of the time when a man is successful in the business is because he had a good wife to help him, was behind him. A keeper of the home, trying to help him, trying to be the helpmeet. That's a good thing. You can take care of your home and still assist your husband in his life work and be a blessing to him. You know, we don't have any time for idleness. A woman that's a good, godly Christian woman don't have time for any idleness. Because she has so much to do. And it says here, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and she delivereth girdles unto the merchant. See, she's being a businesswoman. She's making things and selling them and to help out. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She's happy about what she's doing. She's joyful about what she's doing. You know, we don't want to get up thinking, oh, I got to clean this dirty old house again. But you don't want to think that. You want to think, my house is going to be clean. I'm going to make it clean as I can. I'm going to do the very best I can. I'm going to clean my dishes over and over. You know, there's a little saying that dishes are a blessing because it means we had food, right? But, you know, it just, we want to have the attitude of keeping our home, doing our very best. And, you know, the Lord's going to bless us to do that. And do it joyfully. Do it. Have the law of kindness in her tongue. And she opens her mouth with wisdom. Have wisdom for your family. Give them tips of wisdom. Ask God to give you wisdom so you can give them wisdom. And it says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. But we want to get over here to Romans. We're going to go back to a little bit here, back to Proverbs. But we want to go back to over to Romans 16. And we want to read about Phoebe a little bit here. In Romans 16. I commend unto Phoebe our sister, which is a servant of the church, was at Caesarea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. As I was studying this, Phoebe, our sister, she was a widow, but she did many things as a servant at the church there. And it said that scholars of the Bible said that Phoebe carried Paul's letter to Rome and delivered them orally in numerous times. She was well educated. She was a Gentile widow in the Middle Ages with ample financial means. And she blessed the saints at Caesarea. She blessed them, and she had a large home, was located about 7 miles from Corinth, and that's where they had worship services, in her large home. And many times, sometimes God will work that way, but God worked with her. She was a businesswoman. And you know, I think sometimes we don't want our girls to feel like they just got to stay home and do things. They can't do anything. You know, God wants us to be used of God. And we can be servants in the church. And God can use us and bless us that way. And God wants us to use this in our home. But first, we must be examples in the home and be what God wants us to be there. But anyway, it says, and this says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Priscilla was mentioned first. That was a husband and wife that worked with Paul, because her calling was Priscilla. I just wanted to mention that a little bit, because I want our girls to realize that you have a high calling of God to be a keeper of your home. And also that you can be educated and you can be and temperate in it, but you can be what God wants you to be. It's not, that's okay to assist your husband. Your husband, there's many times things come up in a marriage. They can get sick or things, and you have to jump in there but you have to assist them and help them. And so there's, you know, it's good to be able to do some things. And not, we want our women to be women of God. We want them to realize that their first thing is to serve Christ. Is that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. It looks like a big plate for a woman to do, but you can do it with God's help. And you don't have to neglect your home to do that. I don't believe God wants you to do that. I know in my ministry, the Lord has worked it where my husband could most of the time go with me, or I would go with one of my children. But, you know, I didn't neglect my husband and just go everywhere. I mean, I would go if he was that it was okay for me to go. I submitted to him. And so we know how to, we're married, we have to work with that. And that's what we promised to do. So I just thank the Lord that the Lord can bless us. I want to go back to Proverbs 14:1. It says, a wise woman buildeth her house. Every wise woman, 14 of Proverbs, buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. We know that we need to build our home. And I want to read in Proverbs 9:1 and some instruction on how we can build our home and be a keeper of the home and build our home. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. I want to talk about the seven pillars that a woman, and this can be good for men too, but to build your home. We do not take it lightly when we get married. It's a promise for life. It's a promise, and we need to do our very best to keep our marriages together and love one another and do our very best, because the enemy is against that. He's against that. But we can do that and be building our home. And wisdom hath builded her house. If you have wisdom, you're going to build your house. And you're going to take care of that home. And you're going to take care of your children. And you're going to lead them in godly ways. That's what the Lord wants you to do. So number one, what are those seven pillars? Number one, fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The 10th verse of the 9th chapter says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For us to get real spiritual understanding, we must have the fear of God. So number one, a woman can't really succeed, or a man succeed real good, without having the fear of God. Amen. We have the fear of God. It gives us naturally wisdom that the world does not have, because God leads us. He gives us wisdom. He gives us understanding how to work with our companion, how to work with our children, how to work with our grandchildren, how to work with others. You know, it gives us the fear of the Lord is number one. That's the pillar, those seven pillars to build your house. Number two, love your husbands. Titus 2:4. You know, God wants us to, you think, that's just normal. You love your husband. But it says here, in the 4th verse, that they, 2:4 of Titus, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. I tell you what, if you have true love, it's so strong. It's so strong. It'll conquer everything. It's just like God. When you really, truly love God, you know, you can hold on to God. Even if you have problems and you have trouble sometimes, God will give you the victory. You'll overcome because you love him. It's the same with you love your husband, you love your wife, you're going to hold on to that, you're going to work with that, and you're going to be a conqueror. Love is very strong. Love is good in the congregation. Great. If you really love each other, sister and brother, that's strong, isn't it? It's something that you want good for them. You want the best for them. You want their welfare. You want to help them make it to heaven. That's your goal, is to work with them to make them, help them to get to heaven. That should be all of our goals, to work with one another and love one another fervently, because we want each other to get to heaven. We want them to make it. Well, love your husband that way. Love him fervently. Love your children fervently, not just a little bit, but really, really love them. Show them you love them. Do everything you can to bestow love upon them. You know, if you're that kind of person and you do that, and when they get married, you don't stop loving them. Because they got married, you let them have their space, but you still show them you love them. And one thing I've noticed about our family, when we get through talking, we always say, I love you. Every call, that's our last words, I love you, bye. It's just something we do in our family. And we still do it, and I know some other homes that do that. But, you know, that's important to say, I love you. It's important to put it in verbal words. And you know, it just keeps you close. And so, anyway, love your husbands. That's the second pillar. Third is to look well to your household. Watching your household is a big job. Proverbs 14:1 again. You know, it's just, we can't emphasize it enough. Every wise woman buildeth her house. Every wise, to really look out for your home and watch for your home. Do everything you can to help your home. That is looking well to your household. It's a big job. And then that goes over into the church too. But Proverbs 12:11, we want to read. Proverbs 12:11 is number 4, the 4th pillar. Fourth pillar is, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. He that tilleth his own land, I might say, shall be satisfied with bread. We are to plow our own fields, bless our own house first. Everything is important. Things in the church is important. Functions in the church is important. There's things that we can always keep busy, right? But make sure that your house comes first. You're to till your own land. Because, you know, there's sometimes we only have so much energy, and we don't have all that energy to go around. So you're going to neglect something if you spend too much doing other things that you think is profitable, but maybe you're neglecting some children or grandchildren that you ought to be spending some time with them. So, you know, let God work with you on this and talk to you about this. But the scripture says, this is the pillar, the fourth pillar, till your land. Where is that again? Proverbs 12 and 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. But he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Till your own land. Bless your own field. Plow your own field. You know, Jerry was telling me something about this man. He had worked for Jerry years ago, and he had this beautiful tractor. Big tractor. And he got it dirty lots of times, but he would wash it all the time. And every time Jerry seen it, the next time that tractor looked like new almost. It was so clean, it was so clean. Every time he got it dirty, he cleaned it, washed it, and cleaned it all up. And Jerry says, how come you do that to your tractor? You get it, it always looks so good, so clean. I know you've got it dirty. He said, you take care of what takes care of you. And this is what I'm saying. If you work so much in other things and lose your own marriage or you lose your own home, then profit isn't. It's just like a minister. If they preach to others and they're cast away, then what good did their life do, right? So there's some things that are so important. It's your own home. Amen. Your plow, your own field. And God will give you spaces to help other people. Yes, I believe in that. But, you know, I'm going to get into it, but I'm just saying, we got to be careful. We got to be careful because we want to make sure that we take care of our own duties, keeper of your own home. We want to read Proverbs 12 and 27. It says here, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. In other words, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. He went hunting and he killed some animals, but he didn't clean them. He didn't freeze them for cooking later, or he didn't cook them. He just wasted it. It's a slothful man. He didn't take care of what he worked for. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. But the substance of a diligent man is precious. But someone that's diligent. And you know, and God looks at we might call the little things, but you know, God looks, going back to a keeper of the home, he looks how you desire to keep your kitchen clean. I mean, that sounds like small. But I think God is watching this. I think God, it goes into our spiritual life, how we conduct our homes, how we care about them too. We can overdo it, I'm sure. But, you know, we can have a balance in that. But yet, if we're not diligent and we don't care, it's going to kind of go in our spiritual life that we're not diligent in that, and we're not praying enough, we're not studying enough, we're not reading the Bible because we don't care about the house. Why do you care about that? But if we care about things, there's something that builds in our character. When we care about our homes, when we care about taking care of our children, our grandchildren, when we have a desire to be diligent before God, not because we know it's God's will for us to be a keeper of that home and we do our very best. God takes that note of that, and he will bless you and bless your life, and you'll be able to serve others too. You'll be able to have some energy left to serve them too, because all that time that's going on, he's teaching you things that you can share with other people. And so it says here, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in honey. I remember a story a long time ago about this man. It's kind of humorous, but it's the truth. Some people are like, they gave this man a truck full of corn, and they said, here's your corn. And he just kind of, he was a lazy person. He just kind of lifted up. He goes, was it shucked? I want the corn, but I don't know if I want to shuck it. You know, I mean, it's just something like, you know, how diligent are we? How industrious are we? And how we put God first. Like I said, it goes over into your spiritual life. It really does. And you may think, oh, no. But there's something in there. We need to search our souls, search our heart. God, show me your way. You know, messages are not just for us to listen, oh, that was a good message, but it's to search our own soul. Is there anything, Lord, that you want me to improve on? Is there something you're trying to say to me? Is this message not true? Is the scriptures not true? Am I supposed to be diligent? Am I doing the very best I can? Proverbs 29 and 15, it says here, the rod, 29 and 15. The rod and reproof, Proverbs 29 and 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You know, there are some times we have to correct our children in a godly way. And we've got the job to do it. Rod and reproof give wisdom to your children. But a child left to their self bringeth his mother to shame. I think back when I was a teenager, there was a lot of things I didn't understand. I didn't realize. And my daddy tried to teach me, tried to talk to me about it. And my mother, you know, and I tried to learn from him. But it was until later that I looked back and realized, oh, now I understand what they were trying to say to me. And so we got to realize that children are children, and we're the mom or we're their dad, and we know some things that they don't know. But we need to lead, you know, I'm not saying to, we got to work with them in the right way, but yet we have to do it. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left himself bringing his mother to shame. Oh, God, help us. I know it's a big job. Life is a big job. It really is. But, you know, the Lord can help us. 1 Timothy 3 and 5. God, help us to be diligent and be what you want us to be. 1 Timothy 3 and 5 says, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So, man or woman, they've got to learn how to take care of their own house. Because if you don't know how to take care of your own house, you're going to maybe not do so good trying to help the church. And we got to know how to take care of our own home. And then we can teach others. And it says, if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So, we got to... It's a very delicate thing. The church of God is a very delicate thing in a one way. You know what I'm trying to say? We're dealing with souls. We're dealing with souls for eternity. And we want to help people. We want them to get to heaven. We don't want to hurt them. We don't want to say something and be rude to them. You know, we can say something with our tongue, and then we don't know how much that sister or brother might have to go home and really pray because that hurt their feelings. We have to be careful how we talk to one another. And just, God help us to understand that we got to know how to rule the church of God with strictness and everything. Like, the Bible is strong. I know the Bible is strong. But it's the spirit that we give it. If we give it in the right spirit, it'll be received and it'll be blessed. And people will get blessed by it. May God help us. So it says Ephesians 4 and 32. Ephesians 4 and 32. The Lord wants us to have the tongue of kindness. 4 and 32 says, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted. You know, being tender-hearted is a little different than just having, you know, heart love or whatever, but have a tender heart towards someone. Tenderness is just like a husband and a wife. A husband can talk to his wife in a tender way. She'll understand a lot better. And you might say, well, I've been married so many years that she ought to understand, but, you know, maybe you're just not talking to her in a tender way. And, you know, sometimes, and I'll just give you this for what it's worth, but we've been married 52 years, and I think sometimes it's good to sit down with your husband and wife, look them eye to eye, get rid of all the noise around the house, and if you got something you want to talk to them about, talk to them in a tender way. And say, you know, can you help me with this? Is bothering me. Can you help me with this? And it'll be more received. The same in the church. If we have something we need to talk to someone, talk to them in a tender way, tender-hearted. It says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And then Matthew 6:33. Proverbs 24 and 3 and 4, I want to go back to that for just a little bit. And Lord, help us to, God, help me. I want to be a keeper of my home. I want to be a keeper of the church the best I can. I want to deliver with love. Proverbs 24 and 3 and 4, it says here, 24, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with precious and pleasant riches. I can't think of anything better than when my children come home and we have happiness and joy, and we're sharing a Thanksgiving dinner or a Christmas dinner, and everybody's happy, and I was able to get the house clean, and I got a good meal cooked, and we're all sitting around just loving one another and having a good time with one another. I can't think of any better thing on earth. Amen. It's a blessing to have a family. It's a blessing to have love one to another. So through wisdom is a house builded. Want to build this kind of house. And by understanding it established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. I don't think so much as talking about just riches of money, but pleasant riches of love and pleasant riches of happiness. And this is what we're all for on earth. I think sometimes life is short, but wouldn't it be so much better to go through life with happiness and, you know, and then what they say, drama. Drama. But anyway, isn't it better to avoid drama and problems? It's better to have happiness and joy. And you know, if we're married, we want some joy and happiness out of that marriage. We want to spend time. Jerry and I have some date breakfasts together, and we do that sometimes. And, you know, just being together for a little bit and not working all the time and just have happiness and joy. And I thank the Lord for that. So, Matthew 6:33, Lord, well, this is the last verse I have. I just thank the Lord. This has been on my mind for quite a long time. I just wanted to deliver it. Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So even with all this instruction, we want to put Christ first. If we put Christ first, he'll give us the wisdom, and he'll give us the understanding to be a keeper of the home, and he'll give the husband to know how to work with his wife and realize the great burden, many duties that the wife has, let's put it that way, many duties that she has to be a real keeper. And, you know, to lift her load once in a while is nice to do. It's nice to do. So anyway, you pray for me. I want to get closer to the Lord. I'm working on praying and getting closer to the Lord. Pray for me.